since the 1998 Good Friday Accords, which brought peace to Northern Ireland, there hasn't been much in the headlines about violence and tension between Catholics and Protestants and nationalists and other groups in that part of the world. But violence over the last few days has really escalated. You've probably heard about two attacks by dissident nationalists in the north, one that killed two British soldiers, the other killing a policeman. And really, the question on both sides of the Atlantic is this a precursor for something more significant? And of course, we're headed into St. Patrick's Day celebrations, which are always big here in Boston. Is this a precursor for something bigger, or is this the death throes of some radicalism that really is fading out since the Good Friday Accords in 1998? Joining us now is Kevin Cullen, a columnist with the Boston Globe right here in Boston, and Dan Keenan is the Northern Ireland news editor with the Irish Times newspaper, joining us from Belfast. Dan Keenan, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Good to be here.
And Kevin, thanks for getting up.
Good morning, John.
All right. For both of you, and I'll begin with you, Kevin, the question really is, and the fear, I think, on both sides of the Atlantic is, are these splinter groups attempting to appeal to an underlying tension that's always been there since 1998 and the Good Friday Accords and is likely to escalate? Or is it an attempt to kind of aggregate as many sort of amateur, sort of freelance militants who are happy to come out and get violent for almost any reason and make a show of it? Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think what we're seeing is probably, you know, one of the benefits of the peace process has been to demilitarize things in the north of Ireland. And this is an attempt to remilitarize it. You're talking about a generation. The two people that were arrested, say, for the shooting of the police officer, one of them was probably an infant when the Good Friday Agreement was, well, not an infant, at least a toddler when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. The other one was a teenager, a young teenager. So, I mean, the history of Anglo-Irish relations is one of actions and reactions. It's provocations and reprisals. The Easter Rising, say, in 1916 would probably have just been seen as like a quixotic act of folly, you know, by wild-eyed Irish revolutionaries. Had the British government not decided to execute most of its leaders, and that reversed Irish public opinion, which had been squarely, you know, against the revolutionaries. And throughout the modern equivalent of the Troubles, which Dan has covered firsthand and which I covered firsthand for many years until it seemed to be over, you know, whether we're talking about Bloody Sunday when 13 Catholic demonstrators were shot to death by British troops or the decision of Margaret Thatcher to allow 10 Republican prisoners to starve themselves to death, it's really been more the British reaction to Irish Republicans which dictates whether what an initial killing of Irish people is an isolated incident or a lit fuse.
Right. Well, Dan Keenan, the reaction here has been Gordon Brown, of course, going right to the site of the Barrack shooting over the weekend and holding talks with all parties in the conflict there, certainly an attempt to calm things down. What do you make of the general feeling on the street in Belfast?
I think you're going to see later on today in this part of the world, John, exactly what that reaction is going to be, because the trade union movement here is organizing a series of rallies right across the north in which they're calling for ordinary people just to go to town halls and city halls and stand in silence and remember those who died and to make clear that there isn't a level of support for these guys to continue with this type of action. So today is going to tell us a great deal. That's the public side of things. There's the political side of things as well, and it's been fascinating to watch how the political parties here, most notably the Democratic Unionist Party, which is one half of the power-sharing administration here, and Sinn Féin, which at one stage was the political representatives of the IRA, now a political party very much in their own right, and the other half of the power-sharing administration alongside the DUP, they have been standing shoulder to shoulder on this, insisting that the political path is the way to go and that there ought not to be any room for any Republican paramilitary to try and upset the will of the people and to bring us back to where we once were. So change times indeed here.
So we have a call for a leading Republican politician in Northern Ireland has called on people on both sides of the Irish border to help police catch the gunman. Let's listen to the voice of Martin McGuinness, who's a former member of the IRA, attempting to calm fears there.
What they're doing flies in the face of the hopes and aspirations of all of the people of this country.
So, Kevin Cullen, is this a reminder, whether there's any credibility to these splinter groups or not, that, in fact, what needs to happen is the next political stage of the Good Friday Accords, of the settlement of this political conflict, needs to get moving to prevent this kind of thing from possibly shaking the peace loose?
Yeah, I mean, as Dan mentioned, I think it's the political reaction and the public reaction together that we're going to see. In the bad old days, you know, you would not have seen, obviously, the members of Sinn Féin and members of the DUP standing shoulder to shoulder. I think the reactions have been very interesting. Say, in Parliament the other day, Ian Paisley got up and praised a Catholic priest, Tony Devlin, who had led, there were several congregations that marched to the site after their Sunday services of where the soldiers were killed, and made it clear that the community was against it. Now, Mr. Paisley made it sound as if a Catholic priest had never spoken out against violence before, which is nonsense. They had always been opposed to it at that level. But I think the difference is the warmth and the genuineness of recognizing this. And so you have, which, you know, 3 years ago was unimaginable,
right.
the prospect of Ian Paisley praising a Catholic priest. So people are out of their way to show that things have changed.
I think that's a very valid point, John, if I could come in there. Because, I mean,
please, I want to give you the last word, Dan.
Are we not only seeing changed times on the unionist side of the house, if you like, but that clip that you played from Martin McGuinness, whom you rightly said was a former commander in the IRA up in Derry, had he made those remarks yesterday, 25 or 30 years ago, he would have been shot dead by some of his own colleagues for treachery.
Well, we're going to leave it there.
It's
an amazing change, and it's a testimony to George Mitchell, who helped negotiate the Good Friday Accord. Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe, and Dan Keenan, Northern Ireland news editor for the Irish Times. Thanks for joining us.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.